please take outlines and hold. In the beginning of talking about Psukei Dezimra, we discuss several aspects of Psukei Dezimra, which are critical to understanding where we're going. Here are the outlines. Can you pass those down, please? Again, I think we have to once again, just to keep our eye on the goal of where tefillah is supposed to take us. Tefillah is this time of war that we discussed. There is a war going on between our neshama, our godly soul, and our nefesh habahami, our physical soul. Tefillah is the process that allows us to move through the order of davening to take us to a place where the physical soul actually joins forces with the godly soul until we come to Shmona Esrei, which is the ultimate destination in tefillah. That process takes place, as we discussed, on two levels. The first thing that we need to do with our physical soul is something called iskafia, which is to overwhelm it, to silence it, to dominate the physical soul. Only then can we begin a process of ishapcha, which is to transform the physical soul, to actually join forces with the godly soul. So it's a two-step process. Psukei Dezimra, which followed Karbanis that we discussed last time, the fact that the Karban involves the most physical expression of dominating the animal and then elevating the animal, we move from there into Psukei Dezimra, which is to intellectually and emotionally overwhelm the Nefesh HaBahami. So I want to now take the points that we discussed last week and go through Psukei Dezimra and show where these things are spoken about, because as we learned last week, and that was the text that we did inside, the goal of Psukei Dezimra is to take something that we all know, something which intellectually we have, but intellect is cold. Intellect does not impact our lives because it's recessed in our conscious. And what we need to do in Psukei Dezimra is move it from the realm of the intellect into the realm of the emotion, or as the words were last week, from yidia, from knowledge, to re'iyah, to sight. There's a very different element involved in knowing something as there is in experiencing something. And therefore, when we move through Psukei Dezimra, we're going to move this information from our intellect, from knowing it, to the experiences, which is going to be seeing it. And we have here the five elements which are critical to Psukei Dezimra, the elements which are critical first to understand, and then as we say Psukei Dezimra, to repeat them again and again until they become part of the fiber of our experience to the degree where it's part of our real emotional self. Beginning at the start of the outline, there are two concepts which are discussed at length in Peleoyitz from Rimotel and in many of the other Svarim HaKdoshim, and that is that there are two concepts that go hand in hand. Gadlus HaBorei, understanding the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and simultaneous to that, we come to accept and to recognize Shiflus HaAdam, the lowliness of man. And we're not speaking here about the lowliness of man, Chas V'Sholom, in the lowliness of one's neshama, but here we're speaking specifically to the physical soul and the physical desires. And by comparison, as we understand the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we recognize how feeble and meaningless the world which surrounds us and all of the desires and passions contained within it really are. Step A is the concept that only the Almighty can create. Man has the ability of adapting, and adapting in brilliant ways. We can create computers and rockets and spaceships. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can create. Interests. Koyim Aviyosa, blessed is he who speaks and things come into existence. And that is in Lashon HaYavid, is in the present sense. Baruch Gozer Mekayim, he who decrees and fulfills his words. If you go into the next paragraph, Yehi Chavayid, that paragraph which begins Yehi Chavayid on page 70. You find Kihu Amar Vayehi, it's a about two-thirds of the way down, there's a little 12 there. Ki hu amar ve'yehu tziva v'yamed. He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks and the world comes into existence. Page 76, you find, again, something which almost is inexplicable if you don't understand it this way. Top paragraph, about 60% down. HaShaleach, at the beginning of the line, HaShaleach Yimrosei Oretz Ad Meheira Yoretz Devorai, who dispatches his utterance earthward, how swiftly his commandment runs. What is he talking about? What is David HaMelech speaking about? HaShaleach Yimrosei Oretz, he sends his words to the earth. Ad Meheira Yoretz, how quickly his words run. He's speaking about the words, the commands of creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, and on earth things come into existence. How quickly does it go from Hashem's word until something comes into existence? Speaking about the wonder of creation per se, that Hashem creates something out of nothing. Page 76, again, the bottom of the next paragraph. Yehalelu Hashem Hashem ki hutziva v'nivro. I'm sorry, it's right at the top of the next paragraph, four lines down. Praise the name of Hashem, ki hutziva v'nivro, because he commanded and the world comes into existence. It's mentioned probably another dozen times throughout Pesukah de Zimra. So again, in order to create this understanding and the reality, as we discussed last week from the Baal HaTanya, that we need to move this from the cerebral realm into the realm of actuality, into the realm of reality, or to use his words, to move it from knowledge to sight, to move it from intellect to emotion. We have to say it again and again and again to ingrain this and to be able to say that I can actually see and sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing things into existence out of nothingness, the power of Bria. So I give you four examples, but there are many more examples in Pesukah de Zimra, which you'll discover. As you daven, you'll see that there are many more times that the Pesukim focus on this issue of Bria Yesh Mi'ayin, and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates something out of nothing. And that is the fact that if this all is created just by Hashem's word, if that's all we have, if that's all of creation, everything around us, and all this majesty of the world, and the brilliance of creation is nothing more than an utterance by Hashem, well, what is the utterance compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And therefore, it's kula kamei kelei chashev. The value of all this in Hashem's eyes is nothing. It's nothingness. It's nothing more to Hashem than our word is to us. And it's much less to Hashem than our word is to us. Because it's much less to Hashem, because ultimately we have limited words. Ultimately, a human being is limited in how many words they will speak throughout their lifetime. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was an Ein Sof. And therefore, in truth, those words that we had in those bags mean more to us than the utterances of creation mean to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that left us feeling worthless. If you think of the world in that way, then what value is there in anything? What purpose is there if all it is a meaningless word? Then what value is there in all of creation? What's the point of thinking that way? And the answer is because there is something which is far more valuable. And that is going to be our godly soul and its accomplishments and the talents that we apply to the godly soul. Those stand in a completely different level of the rest of creation. We'll get back to that on page 2. That's really the focus of today's conversation. Yeah. That language is a language of a Zohar. Kula kame kilei chashiva is a language of the Zohar in many places. All in his eyes, all before him, are meaningless. Kilei chashiva mean nothing. But that really, if you think about it, that is a natural result of the belief that the world is created in God's word. That step is a logical next step. If it's all created in God's word, then that step does not take a rocket scientist to figure out. That step is a natural result of the fact that the world is created in God's word. Refocus, everybody. Let's reorient ourselves. Malchus, letter C. The next concept that we hammer away at in Psukah de Zimra is the concept of Malchus. Primarily, Ashrei is very intensely involved with it. It really is the essence of what Rosh Hashanah, the season of Rosh Hashanah, is about. Page 74, if you look at the pasuk that begins with Mem, Malchus cha Malchus kol eilamim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your Malchus. Where is Hashem's? It's on 72. Yep. Malchus, Chamalchus, Kaleilamim, your Malchus is the Malchus of all the worlds. The worlds are Hashem's Malchus, and we discussed last week that Malchus involves HaKadosh Baruch Hu's restraining his presence so that it doesn't appear evident in the world. It's the concealment of the presence of Hashem, because it, as we discussed last week, the essence of all things is Hashem's word, which sustains it. We don't see it as such. When we look at things, we see them in their physical expression. We don't see them as the word of Hashem. Well, how does that happen? That's the concept of Malchus. A king is apart from the people. A king exists in the palace, whereas the country operates by the word of the king. The word Olam itself is He'elam, is concealment. That's the essence of the word Olam, is La'alem, to conceal. Malchuscha, the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Malchus Kol Elamim. It is the kingdom of all of these concealments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of these worlds which conceal the presence of Hashem. Okay, again, all to get us to a point where we understand that the world is sustained by the word of Hashem, but that his concealment stops us from seeing that in its apparent way. On the next page, on 74, the conclusion of the next kapitel. Again, please do not look at the English translations. They're not going to jive. Yimlech Hashem li'olam. Where is the Malchus of Hashem? It is la'olam, it is in the world, it is to this world in which we live, in the concealment of Hashem. That's where we sense God's kingdom. See it? That's the middle paragraph, last words. Yimlech Hashem li'olam, li'kayach tzien. And finally, and most evidently, the translation here is correct. I'm not telling you it's an incorrect translation. What I'm saying is, Yimloich Hashem, where do we see? We ask Hashem to reign le'olam in the world, in this concealment. We're proclaiming God's rulership, his dominion, his majesty. And this is very central, because both the concluding words of Baruch Sha'amar and the concluding words of Yishtabach proclaim this, the essence of this. If you look at the concluding words on 66, the bracha concludes right after the art scroll star there. Yachid chei ho'elamim melech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yachid. 68. What is going on here? I must use a different siddur. There must be two different versions. The pages are different? All right. You got it? The end of Baruch Sha'amar? Right by the little star. Let me just finish this thought. Yachid Cheyo Elamim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who stands alone. Cheyo Elamim, who is the life force of the world. He is the essence, the sustainer of the world. Melech, this is the concept of Malchus. That is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands apart. He's unaffected by the world. Nonetheless, he sustains the world through the chiyus that he gives to the world. He sustains the world. Give me Spicer outline, please. And at the end of Yishtabach, it concludes with the very same words of Melech Yochid, Keil Chei Oilamim. I'm not saying the page number. It is 86, right, I did. And that is, again, a king who stands apart, who is the Chei Oilamim, who is the sustainer and the life force of the world. Suzanne, what do you want to say? Next element to focus on in Pesukah de Zimra. Ani Hashem Leishanisi. And again, this becomes a very, very fundamental issue in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unaffected by what goes on in the world. When things are not going well, God does not have a bad day. Unlike the neshama and the body, where the neshama is affected by the dealings of the body, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remains unaffected by the world. There are two mashalim that are given for this. I just want to, again, look at some of the references. We say Kadesh, Kadesh. The word Kadesh in Hebrew, we translate it as holy. It means removed and separate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kadesh. Male kol ha'aretz kevoidai, the entire world is full of his presence. Again, the word that they use in the typical translations is glory, and that word rings too much of another religion. I can't stand using it, so find me another word and I'll use it. In the meantime, I will use the word for covered this presence. The entire world is full of his honor, presence, fine. So again, you have the world being full of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sustaining and giving life and sustenance to the world moment by moment. Nonetheless, he remains Kaddish. He remains removed from it in a way that it's not like, boy, I created a world today. Boy, am I exhausted. Or things were not going well down there today. I'm really having a bad day. Kaddish Baruch Hu is unaffected, unchanged. We say in davening, Atu, Kaidim Shenivra Elam, you were before the world was created. Atu, Mishenivra Elam, you are the same God, unaltered, once the world is created. Again, to give you some of the parables that are given to make this more palatable, the rays of the sun make huge change in human life, in the life of this world. Forget about human life. Vegetation grows only based upon the sun. Anybody who's ever tried growing certain plants in Milwaukee know that they don't do well because we don't have a whole lot of it. Now, the rays of the sun strike in the deserts in New Mexico where nothing grows. Is the sun all upset, or is the sun some way affected by the fact that so many of its rays strike places where nothing grows? In all of Manhattan, there isn't a plant. And is there, you know, is it like it in any way affects the sun? The sun gives off its rays. Whether the rays are utilized or not does not affect the sun. What's more is that if you want to go back to what we discussed earlier, within that fireball, compare for a moment the ray to the sun. How significant is the ray in that intense heat and light? Does the ray hold any meaning to the sun? It's completely meaningless in its source. So too do we understand the world is compared to the ray of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, the word that the Svarim HaKadoshim use is that the world is full of the Oyer of Hashem, the light of Hashem, or it's referred to as the Ziv, which actually means a ray. But to the sun, the ray has no meaning. It has no value. The sun does its thing. And then there's the growing power in the earth. I think we spoke about this last week, shortly, and that is that if you take an apple seed, say you have a Macintosh apple, a Cortland apple, whatever, something really sweet. You want to know, where does this sweetness come from? So you go back, well, it came from this seed, right? Well, you ever taste an apple seed? They don't taste anything like an apple. And they're certainly not sweet. So the sweetness isn't coming. It's not inherent in the seed. So the other option is to go look at the earth. And we know that earth, depending on where the earth is, it really affects the crops. It makes a difference in how the fruit comes out. So everybody, Baruch Hashem, here has probably had an opportunity to taste some earth. And it doesn't taste sweet either. So there's an inherent koyach There's a power, almost a spiritual power, which exists in earth that is conducive to allowing the seed to germinate and to create. Now, take the apple at the other end. You have an apple that grew in Washington State somewhere. And instead of eating it, it ends up in the garbage. Well, can you imagine that the earth is somehow in Washington is going to be affected by the fact that the apple doesn't get eaten? It's not, you know, of course the ecologists will tell you, yes, it does. It's going to make a difference if you, you know, it ends up back in the earth. Again, let's just run quickly because I want to get to the next section of what really does matter. I'm on the second sheet. Ziv, Kavod, Hod, Or, all of these words that we'll find throughout Psukei Dezimra are words utilized to understanding Hashem's presence in this world. Those are all means of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu affects our world. That's the presence of Hashem that sustains our world. So again, if you look through these later, Hoydoy al Eretz Hashemayim, His presence is upon earth and heaven. Yihi Chvayd Hashem li'olam, the Kavod of Hashem comes down to our world. U'baruch Shem Kavod li'olam, V'yamad Chvayd is called Eretz, that's on page 78 if you want to write it in. The name of His honor comes to the world, and His honor suffuses the entirety of the world, meaning that it's His presence which gives life and sustenance to the world. And it really becomes, it's spelled out, let us see here, it's spelled out very clearly on page 80, and it's almost an entire paragraph where the Psukim and Divrei Hayamim describe this in accurate terms. Doesn't leave any room for imagination. You Hashem stand alone and apart, and nonetheless, Va'ata Mechayes Kulam, you are the one who is sustaining everything. So again, Hashem stands alone and apart, and nonetheless, He gives life to all things. Okay, so those are three or four bullets as to what we're supposed to be thinking about as we go through Psukim Dezimra, to find the Psukim. You'll find numerous Psukim that relate to every one of these concepts. The concept of creation, the concept of its significance to Hashem, the concept of Hashem's Malchus, and the concept of Ani Hashem Lo Shenisi, of Hashem being unchanged by all these things. Those are four themes. The fifth one is something which is intended to drive the Jew in Psukei Dezimra to a level of simcha, which is unparalleled. It's intended to drive a sense of awesome privilege and honor and distinction, which is one of the themes of Psukei Dezimra, and that is as follows. The world is created with the 10 Ma'amores. These 10 utterances, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayomer Elikim, and Hashem says. It comes to the creation of man, the style of the Psukim completely changes. Hashem says, Nasa Adam, let us make man. There's all of a sudden a conversation taking place. Everything else is, Hashem said, Yehi Or, let there be light, Vayichein, and it came into being. Hashem says, let there be vegetation, and it comes into being. Hashem says, let there be a rekia, and they come into being. Vayomer Elikim Nasa Adam. And then the Torah describes how Hashem creates man. He gathers earth. Doesn't say anywhere else about the process that Hashem created anything else. They were created by Hashem's word alone. What's more is that man is not complete even after God creates him. Now, Nasa Adam, who is Hashem talking to? Let us make man. So it says, Nimloch b'nishmaseim shel tzadikim. Hashem counseled with the souls of the tzadikim. What do you mean, souls of tzadikim? Man wasn't created yet. So we see that these souls exist prior to the creation of man. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes this body that He created, and the Torah records, Vayipach be'apoy nishmas chayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into His nostrils a nishmas chayim, a living soul. Not Vayomer, Vayipach. Vayipach. And the Zohar Kodesh says on these words, Man de nofach mitoichei nofach. When somebody blows, they blow from deep within themselves. You can talk hours at end. I'm not telling you you're allowed to. A human being has the ability of talking for many, many hours. Try blowing up a big balloon. And after moments, you'll be exhausted. You won't be able to blow. In fact, you could black out if you blow too long. What's the difference? Because man de nafach mitechei nafach. When somebody blows, they blow from deep within themselves. They're blowing out their chiyus. They're blowing out their very life force. And therefore, you have to take breaks. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a limited life force. But it's to grab, the description in the Torah is to grab man's ear, to give us an idea of the stature of the neshama. Unlike everything else in creation that was created by an utterance, was created by a vayomer, by a word, the neshama of man is blown into man through a neficha, through a blowing which comes from a much deeper place. That's A. And if you look in the first, in the opening of Bereshis, in the Midrashim, in Rashi, you find the concept of Yisrael alu b'machshava tchila. The fact that Klal Yisrael preceded in thought all of creation. We find in L'chadoidi the words soif ma'ase b'machshava tchila. The end result was first in thought. You create an image of what you want your house to look like, then you hire the contractor, you hire the builders, and so on. The end result is what you envisioned at the first stage. Yisrael alu b'machshava tchila. And here's where I want you to take a look at the appendix. They gave out. It's in Hebrew. Alu b'machshava tchila. They were conjured in machshava before creation. Alu, aliyah. This comes from the Kutei Torah from the Balei Tanya in Parshas Behar. So go to the underlined part. And I don't know what happened here, but I took all of these acronyms and opened them up, and then when it got here to the computer here, they weren't opened up anymore. They closed themselves back up. So I apologize. Ukemoi, shal derech mashal, as you find in a way of a parable, on the underlined section. Beginning with the underlined section. Ukemoi shal derech mashal. That's what that first acronym is. Ba'adam, with a human being. Ha'ayis yais. Oh. Your thing here is completely different than mine. All right, it's three lines down. I'm sorry. You have an I sent the wrong version to the computer. I had to do the copier is broken. So I had to email it to this computer and then print it off on the printer. So I'm sorry. Three lines in. Ukamay shal derech mashal. You got it? By way of a parable. Right? Dead center in the middle of the paragraph. Ba'adam, in a human being, ha'aisiyos v'adiburim, the letters and the speech of man, shemedaber, hem kilei choshiv, are considered insignificant. Ligabe kloles nefesh hamedaberes, compared to the soul that speaks them. What's more, the soul is not weaker after we talk. And it could speak words endlessly. Amazing. He knew my sisters. Kach. So too. So too. All of the worlds, all of the angels, the most fiery angels, Shebahem, Hurak Ha'ara, are nothing more than a ray. Ukaloi Choshev Etzli Yisborach, Vein Teufis Mokim Negdoi. They are insignificant to Hashem, and they occupy no significance to Him. V'amnam, here are the critical words. Nishmais Yisrael, that's what that acronym is. The souls of the Jew, Alu B'machshava, they come from a place called thought. They are not from speech. Then he says, "No, well, give me one a copy that you have there, so I'm not, excuse me, thank you. Oh, I did open up the acronyms in this one. Forget it. Okay, this is all mixed up. Now, even though he says here that machshava thought itself, we can think also endless thought. So what difference is there? So go to the next underlined part. Mikol Mokon. Hamachshava hu lemaila min hadibur. Machshava is much higher than words. Shehadibur nikra levush hachitzayin. Remember we talked about in the first class that there are three means of human expression. There's thought, there's speech, and there's deed. Dibur, speech, is an outer garment, meaning, k'mayadarech mashal. Let's take another example. Begashmias, in physical terms. Levush she'en elayv she'tamid, a garment that you don't put on all the time. Rak lepamim, only sometimes. Da'anu k'shayelech lechutz, your winter coat. You don't wear your winter coat in the house. You wear your winter coat when you're going outside. Kach hu hadibur, so too is speech. So too is speech. Sharei lo tamid umedaber. We're not always talking. Ele kishetzorech ligalos lizulasai, only when you need to reveal something that's in your head to somebody else, you don the garment. You put on the coat. You then put on speech. It's, I need to reveal something that's in here to somebody else. Well, how am I going to communicate that? I'm going to communicate it through the garment of speech. Therefore, v'yesh matzah l'ruchah shalei l'dabar. Hopefully, we have enough sense to know that we can restrain ourselves not to speak. Masha'enkein ha'machshava, but that's not the case with thought. Hu levush ha'pnimi, it is the most intimate garment of man. Shalev shaytamid, we're always wearing it. Gam kishu b'fnei atzmai, even when we're completely alone, she'ief shalias b'lei machshava, a human being cannot be without thought. It is something which is inseparable from the soul. Therefore, the mind can never rest because it is intrinsically connected to the neshama. And what's more, because of its connection, it is eternal. Thought is eternal, just like the neshama itself is eternal. He then goes on to say that, let me just finish this, that Shlomo HaMelech says, Eis lachshois ve'eis ledaber. There's a time to be silent and a time to talk. And that just like that's true in the experience of man, that's true for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if the world is existing because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's speech, then there's going to be a time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be silent. And the world will cease to exist. But that's only true of that which comes into existence through speech. Nishmais Yisrael, the soul of the Jew, which is related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's machshava kaviyachol, which relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's thought, is eternal. It's not limited to the time of silence. What's more is, which would you consider to be more intimate in physical terms, in human terms? Speech or thought? Yes, speech, we can think far more than we can talk. But which is more personal, which is more intimate to the human being? It's clear that thought is a much more intimate part of ourselves than is our speech. And therefore, the neshama, compared to creation, are incomparable. The neshama of the Jew and the rest of creation cannot be compared in any which way. The world is limited. The world comes into existence through amiras, through speech. The neshama of the Jew comes from machshavas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's much closer and much more intimate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world is limited in its time span. It's more abundant, will cease to exist. The neshama is eternal. And because it's eternal, it existed before the world was created as well. Because eternity is timeless. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to bring the world into creation, when time was being created, he counseled with the neshama. He counseled with the neshama, so the tzaddikim. So in Psukah de Zimra, when we're bringing about the thoughts of the limitations of the physical soul and its drives, when we're discussing here the issues of the lowliness, the shiflus ha'adam, that's only relegated to man's physical aspect. But the nefesh or aleki, the godly soul, compared to the rest of this wondrous creation, holds a whole different place in chashivus, in importance, in God's eyes. It's a whole different aspect. It's a whole different world. That comes from machshav. Now look at it in the psukim as we go through psukim dizim. Go back to page 2. And this is, by the way, found throughout psukim dizim. It's in haidu. It's all over the place. I just give you 4 examples here. Ashrei ha'am shekach alai. Ashrei ha'am shehashem alikav. Fortunate is this nation. Shehashem alikav, that Hashem is its God. Meaning, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely different than the rest, not just the rest of the world, but the rest of creation is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The next page, 74, is it? Let's see if that's right. Yep. Center paragraph, 4 lines in. Ashrei shekel Yaakov be'ezrei, fortunate is this nation whose the God of Yaakov is at its assistance, Sivrei al Hashem alikov. It relies on Hashem alikov. It relies on the fact that Hashem is its God. And as we'll discuss, this language stems from Kriya Shema. Hashem alikeinu Hashem echad. V'ahavta es Hashem elikecha. The fact that the neshama comes from a direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the next 2 examples are the most powerful ones. The next kapitel, if you go through the kapitel itself, it speaks about Hashem operating the world. We spoke about who he dispatches his utterance earthward, that which brings the world, who gives snow like fleas. It talks all about nature. And then he draws a distinction. Magid Devarav Yaakov, he who speaks his words to Yaakov, Chukav Mishpat of the Yisrael, he gives his Torah to Klal Yisrael. Le'osachen L'chokah, he didn't do this for any other nation. This is a completely different relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Klal Yisrael than he has with anything else in existence. And on the bottom of that page, at the end of the second line from the bottom, Hoida Yaletz V'Shamayim, Hashem's presence is in heaven and earth. He's sustaining all things. Right, as we discussed, that was one of the references up on top. But Vayarem Keren Liamai, he uplifts his nation to a completely different realm. Tehila Lechol Chasida of Levnei Yisrael and Karevi, to his close nation, Klal Yisrael. We're close because we come from the closest place, Kavi Yochol. We come from Machshavas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayipach Pa'ap of Nishmas Chaim. It comes from an internal place somehow, within HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Ben Yisrael. So when we compare, when we think about the wonders of creation, we're talking about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings everything into existence, Yesh Miayin. We talk about the fact that it all makes no difference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we draw upon, but the neshama, but the nefesh aliki, the godly soul, occupies a completely different place. It's on a whole different level. It's nowhere near anything else in creation. That's all deeper. That's all that will all cease to exist. The Jew is in a different place. I just want to tell you a little bit about what we're going to do next week. Because from here, after all these things, up until page 80, till halfway down page 80, this all fits into this path that we're talking about. These 5 points are spoken about again and again, and the Avodah Pesukei Dezimra is to repeat them and to get into it and to say it out loud, to drive these points home to ourselves again and again until we come from Yediyah, from knowledge, to Re'iyah, to sight. That's the goal of Pesukei Dezimra. Then we go into this from knowledge to sight, from intellect to experience, from intellect, from knowledge to emotion. Comes here, all of a sudden we begin with Az Yashir, with the splitting of the sea and the song that takes place at the sea, and it seems not to fit with the rest of Pesukei Dezimra. And next week we're going to talk about not only how it fits, but how it's an absolutely fundamental concept to Jewish life, namely the concept of Tchiyas HaMesim, the concept of the resurrection of the dead, and why that is so central to the belief of Klal Yisrael, and what relationship that happens to have with the Shira. Okay, the question asked is, we're claiming here this superiority over all other creations, including the nations of the world, saying that we have this neshama, which is a chelik of the kai, which is in a completely different realm due to the fact that it was all of a machshava. And the proof of that was from the vayipach biyapav that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into man this neshama. Well, the nations of the world were created from that same blowing. And the answer is that, let me give you a mashal. I don't think this thing works. This thing is dead. Wow, it's unbelievable. Dies just at the right time. The Arizal asked this question. Okay? So first of all, you're well connected. The way he answers it, first let me give you the terminology of what the answer. The answer is that within the neshama, there is the chitzonius of the neshama and the pnimius of the neshama. The external levels of the neshama and the internal levels of the neshama. And the example that are given for pnimius and chitzonius is a very practical example. Most people, when they go to work, and again, it's only most people, go to work because they want to make a living. In essence, the person, for instance, who works as a caretaker of a building, okay? In essence, they could really care less when they go to sleep how the building looks, right? Why am I doing what I'm doing? What is the pnimius of my mission? What's the real internal meaning? Why am I doing what I'm doing? I'm doing it because my mission is to make money. How do I do that? That's the chitzonius. That's the outward methods I use to accomplish that goal. Okay? The Vayipach Ba'ap of Nishmas Chaim involved an external and an internal mission. The internal mission of Vayipach was Klal Yisrael. The external was in order to bring about a Klal Yisrael, in order to sustain a Klal Yisrael, and for the destiny of the world, there needs to be the nations of the world. But it was a chitzoniistic purpose. It was an external purpose, an outward fashion to bring about the internal goal. So that Vayipach Ba'apav involved a neshama, and that neshama has an internal aspect of it and an external aspect of it. The nations of the world live from the external aspect of it. Klal Yisrael exists through the internal aspect of it. Chaim shared with me yesterday that Yaakov Avinu passed over Haramiria, right, in yesterday's parsha. And he then, you know, goes way beyond it and then says, hey, I passed over Mokum Shuspalda Avaisai, the place where Avram and Yitzchak davened. Why didn't I daven there? So he turns to go back, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings him back to Haramiria. So Ephraim said, what was he thinking the first time he went by? Why didn't he stop the first time? So he said something which we'll all identify with, and that is, he went by there the first time, comes to Hara Maria, he sees this place where Avram Avinu was willing to take the life of Yitzchak, comes to the place where his father stuck out his neck to be slaughtered, and he says to himself, is my tefillah going to mean anything? What, I'm going to go say a kapitel tilim in a place? My father was willing to give his life here. My grandfather was willing to take the life of his only son. And I'm going to go up in a siddur and daven there? What's it going to mean? What standing does it have in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Well, then he says, I'm just going to continue on. He comes back and then he says, you know, ultimately it was the place where my ancestors davened. I should go back and daven there. So he goes back and davens and he falls asleep. And he has this image, and Hashem says to him, Yankov, it's true. Your life is a ladder whose feet is on the earth. But don't ever underestimate yourself. The top of the ladder is Reisha Megiyah HaShemayimah. The top of the ladder ascends to the heavens. A Jew should never underestimate the power of the tefillah. So Yankov Avinu exclaims, Ma Noira Mokam Azeh, he says, I always knew how awesome this place is. but va'anoichi lo yadati, I didn't know that I had value. I didn't know my value is what I underestimated. So the potential of the neshama is awesome.